May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Happy is the nation whose God is Yahuwah. In 1757, the Lord completed the last judgment in the world of spirits. By the end of that year, 260 years ago, the Lord set the stage for the emergence of a new freedom for the human race. A freedom effectuated by the brighter light from heaven that could now shine down into the minds of man. Today, we are living in this new era of human freedom. The Lord teaches in the heavenly doctrine that henceforth the man of the church will be in a more free state of thinking on matters of faith, thus on the spiritual things which relate to heaven, because spiritual freedom has been restored to him. So this morning, we will look together at how in this new era of spiritual freedom we can confirm the presence of the Lord's providence in guiding the birth of our nation. And we will also look at how seeing the hand of providence in the past can give us confidence that the Lord can guide our nation now and in the future. Like all of the Lord's divine truth, these truths regarding the restoration of spiritual freedom can be confirmed from experience and learning. Confirming what the Lord teaches us in the world around us is an important step in the development of our faith. The Lord teaches us that those who are in the affirmative, that is, who believe that things are true because the Lord has said them, are so continually being confirmed, and their ideas enlightened and strengthened by what is of reason and memory knowledge, and even by what is of sense. So where can we look to see evidence of the profound changes that occurred after the last judgment? Only 19 years after the last judgment, and 241 years ago to this day, the unanimous Declaration of Independence of the 13 colonies of the United States of America was adopted by the Continental Congress and would be finalized 2 days later. This declaration made liberty the founding principle of America and triggered a revolution. The Lord has given us a standard from which we can assess the nature of this revolution. In New Jerusalem and her heavenly doctrine, the Lord teaches a king who has absolute power and who believes that his subjects are such slaves that he has a right to their possessions and lives, if he exercises such a right, is not a king but a tyrant. We may also find confirmation of this teaching in the letter of the word in Psalm 33, which states that no king is saved by a multitude of an army. The indication seems to be that when a national leader acts as a tyrant, his rule is not legitimate, no matter the multitude of his army. When we look at the Declaration of Independence, we find that it is a catalog of tyranny. The assertions made in that document certainly seem to justify, from a new church perspective, a separation from that tyranny and an adoption of a new form of government. And this new form of government was based on the notion of liberty, of freedom. A government springing from the rejection of the type of tyranny described in New Jerusalem and her heavenly doctrine. What can explain this development other than the guiding hand of providence in this new era of human freedom? There are likely many more examples of the emergence of greater freedom in this post-last judgment world. But today we will focus on seeing the presence of the Lord primarily in the nation whose birth we celebrate this week. We can look back and have confidence in the guiding hand of the Lord in the founding of the United States. And based on the Lord's teaching regarding the new spiritual light ushered in by the last judgment, we can begin to see that it was no coincidence that the birth of a nation based on the ideals of freedom occurred when it did in the course of human history on this planet. But the Lord has given us even more guidance in this new era of spiritual freedom. For seeing how a nation can facilitate his presence. In the doctrine of charity, the Lord teaches us that the common good consists in these things, that in the society or kingdom there shall be what is divine with them, that there shall be justice with them, that there shall be morality with them, that there shall be industry, knowledge, and uprightness with them, that there shall be the necessaries of life. This passage continues by explaining where it is that these elements of the common good come from. It does not come from these things themselves, but from the individuals there, and through the goods of use which individuals perform. As that what is divine is there through ministers, and justice through magistrates and judges, so morality exists by means of the divine and of justice, and necessaries by means of industrial occupations and commerce, and so on. A society or kingdom that is in itself a form of charity will be such because of the uses within that kingdom that are performed by individual people. As we read in the doctrine of charity, for by the common is meant not only the city and its society, but the country and also the government. A country formed from the common good will have churches with priesthoods and courts with judges and governments with magistrates and, most importantly, people doing the hard work of daily life honestly, justly, and faithfully. The collective loves of a nation, then, which motivate its uses, form its character, or its common good. It seems that these teachings from the doctrine of charity are confirmed in Psalm 33, where it says, "From the established place of his dwelling, the Lord views all who dwell on earth, forming their heart together, understanding all their deeds." With these teachings in mind, we might then conclude that the heart of America at its founding pumped with the love of liberty, and the deeds of the American Revolution served this end. But we know that it could only be the Lord's providence forming their hearts together that made this possible. It seems it was the Lord forming their hearts together in a common good that motivated the revolution. The Declaration of Independence itself was even intended to be an expression of the American mind, according to its author. It was a document articulating a fledgling nation's common good, we might even say. But more evidence of the Lord's presence can be seen from how the founders provided for a society in which what was divine with them was afforded the greatest protection. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution enshrines religious freedom. We can wonder, was it the brighter light from heaven shining into the minds of our nation's founding fathers when they seemed to recognize this necessity for what is divine to be in society and protected by the government? George Washington acknowledged that while just government protects all religious rights, true religion affords to government its surest support. Patrick Henry also stated that the great pillars of all government are virtue, morality, and religion. It seems that at the time of this nation's founding, it was well understood that for the common good to be present, first, what is divine must be with the people. It should not surprise us that this necessity was perhaps best articulated by a woman who, by all accounts, dearly loved her husband. Abigail Adams said, "A true patriot must be a religious man. He who neglects his duty to his Maker may well be expected to be deficient and insincere in his duty toward the public." Now, we can move beyond the revolution and look for other evidence of the effects of the Last Judgment. Other indications of what appears to be the effects of the brighter light of heaven. Can we see evidence of a light that has given this country and many others the ability to make judgments regarding evils that did not seem possible before? What about the abolition of slavery in many countries across the world, and securing of civil rights for racial minorities and women in more and more places? Or the commitment of several nations during the 20th century to defeat the evil fascism of Nazi Germany and the brutal communism of the Soviet Union? But another consequence of this brighter light from heaven is the combats that it brings from the hells. So we should not be surprised as this nation finds itself in continual battles, both internally and externally, both spiritually and naturally, as every generation commits to the common good formed by their collective loves. And this will not look any different from an external perspective than in ages past, even though we are in a post-last judgment world. As the Lord taught in his work, The Last Judgment, the state of the world hereafter will be altogether similar to what it has been heretofore, for the great change which has taken place in the spiritual world does not induce any change in the natural world as to the external form, so that after this there will be civil affairs as before. There will be peace, treaties, and wars as before, with all other things which belong to societies in general and in particular. We cannot know where the Lord's providence will lead this nation in the future, but we can be grateful for how he has led it in the past. Today, we can be grateful that the Lord has led us to a point where slavery is an institution which is seen as evil. We can be grateful that he has given America the strength to stand up against external threats to freedom, such as Nazi Germany and Soviet communism. And we can be grateful that the Lord has guided this nation in a way that continues to largely protect religious freedom. As we look to the future now in this post-last judgment world, we have greater freedom than before to put into practice what the Lord teaches us regarding the common good that defines the character of a nation. By exercising our freedom to worship, we can contribute to the common good by receiving what is divine among us. By doing our civic duty and choosing leaders who, as the Lord says in New Jerusalem and her heavenly doctrine, are wise, God-fearing, and skilled in the law, we can contribute to the common good by working toward a government that ensures justice. And by doing our daily uses, no matter what they may be, honestly, justly, and faithfully, we can contribute to the common good by establishing standards of morality and producing the necessaries of life. It was the Lord's presence in our past that has given us anything good that we have in our nation today, and his continual presence is a cause for hope. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Amen. And now to our one and only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.